Ruth chapter 1 and the verse 13. I draw your attention to the words at the end of the verse where Naomi speaks and says, "It grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me." I want to speak to you today about affliction. I want to speak to you today, people of God, about God's chastening hand. God's chastening hand. And so we consider this confession of Naomi's at the end of verse 13. Naomi is speaking, and here she is unburdening her heart. And here is thoughts that are going on in her mind, and she speaks them out. And she says this. She has already privately recognized it. But now she publicly states it. "The hand of the Lord has gone out against me." It's an amazing acknowledgement, isn't it? Now the question, of course, we must ask is she right? The conclusion she has come to, is it true? Is what she says true? Has the hand of the Lord gone out against her? She certainly thinks it, but is it true? You see, the text doesn't say the hand of the Lord went out against Naomi. If it said that, we would have no doubt. But it doesn't say that. If it said that, we would know that the Holy Spirit was speaking and that the words would be true. But this is Naomi's own thought. "The hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Is she right? Is it true that the hand of the Lord has gone out against her? We ask, can such a thing happen? Can the hand of the Lord go out against a child of God? I have to say, Naomi is a thinker. She is thinking about the providence of God. She is thinking about all these bad things that have happened in her life. She's always thinking about the Lord. You can see the Lord in her thoughts. She doesn't just drift through life and bad things happen to her and she doesn't reflect on it. No, bad things happen to her and she sees it as the hand of the Lord. She's always thinking about God. She doesn't see any accidents in her life. She only sees it as all the hand of God. And I have to say to you, that's a Christian. Always interpreting providence as the hand of God. She has a continual God consciousness. God is in all her thoughts, so that whatever happens to her, she says, "This is the hand of the Lord. He has done this. He has allowed this." There is this awareness of God. There may be a kind of very furry Christianity who thinks God just brings to us nice things, that he just gives us, as it were, sweets, and he's a kind of a daddy who pampers us, or a softy who lets us always have our way and is always rewarding us, even when we don't deserve it. I know there may be a kind of Christianity that thinks about God like that, that God could never allow bad things to happen us, that he would never use the stick. This kind of softy, daddy, pampering, mommy kind of religion, where God is always nice and pleasant and just gives us good things and everything else, well, that must be of the devil and somehow outside of his control. Naomi doesn't think like that. Her religion is not an airy, furry one built in cuckoo land. And so when she says, "The hand of the Lord has gone out against me," she's right. She's right. It has. She is a realist. She has a biblical worldview of the divine providence. She is a sound reader of the ways of God with her. Now, Naomi is certainly convinced the Lord's hand has gone out against her. And the Holy Spirit lets us hear her say it. And why does he let us hear her say it? Because it is true. She interprets providence right. She interprets providence the way a believer ought to interpret it. She brings it home to her own door. She doesn't blame anyone else. She says it's the Lord's hand, and it's the Lord's hand against me. She does. She's a realist. She's not burying her head in the ground about the matter, thinking it'll go away, and God isn't dealing with her. No. Christians don't do that, you know. They have this God consciousness, this awareness of the dealings of God with them in their life. And this is her interpretation of her affliction. It is nothing less than the hand of God against her. She's convinced of that. And she's always saying it. It's ground into her thinking. You'll see there in verse 20 how she puts it. Verse 20 at the end. The Almighty had dealt very bitterly with me. But she's saying the same thing. All this bitterness that has come into my life, it's the Almighty. He's dealing very bitterly with me. That's what she thinks. And then you'll see there in verse 21 at the end, the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me. She doesn't say the devil. She doesn't say all these things that by chance have fallen in my path. She says, it's the hand of God. The Almighty has done it. The Sovereign One. There's only one on the throne. The Almighty hath done it. He's afflicted me. Now, how would you counsel Naomi? I know how the world would counsel her. I know how airy-fairy Christianity and the adherence of a prosperity gospel would counsel her. Oh, nothing bad should ever happen to you, they would say. These are just by chance. These are outside God's control. It's not his will that you should be suffering these things at present. That's not biblical counsel, I can tell you. It's not. No, Naomi has it right. It's a hand of God. Oh, they would say that is the adherence of a prosperity gospel and the world counselors. This is negative thinking, Naomi. The psychologist would never counsel you to think like that. You must think positively. You must not see God's in this at all, but rather, you should only see the devil in this. No. There's one on the throne. It's not the devil. It's the Almighty. He's on the throne. There's one hand that rules the universe. It is the hand of the Lord. Those people who say God never smacks, or God never allows bad things to happen to us, are utterly foolish and don't know their Bibles. And what is even worse, they don't know God. Now, I grant that the believer can think wrongly, and we always think wrongly when we think unbiblically. But Naomi is thinking biblically. She is quite right. It is the counselors for the superficial, feel-good, prosperity gospel that are wrong. Her interpretation of providential affliction is sound. You remember whenever the Ark of God was taken into the towns of the Philistines, and there were all these kinds of afflictions come, and the Philistines were confused in their mind, why is all this happening to us? And finally the priests came in, and they said, it may be the hand of Jehovah, the God of Israel. Probably it's not, but we'll offer offerings as well, and we'll see what way the cart goes when the cows pull it. It has probably just been a chance thing. But nevertheless, we'll do this.
And we'll just check that it isn't the hand of Jehovah. And of course the cows went home to Beth Shemesh. It was the hand of Jehovah. It wasn't chance. All their hemorrhoids, wasn't chance. All their afflictions, it wasn't chance. All the tears that had been shed in the Philistine towns wasn't chance. It was the hand of the Lord that had gone out against them. And they found that out. Affliction is always God's instructive, chastening hand to his people. Affliction is always God's instruction to us to humble us, to reform us, to mend us, to bring us closer to him. All the sons of God are chastened. We read it there in Hebrews 12. There's not one left out. If you're without chastisement, then are you illegitimate sons. Or illegitimate children and not sons. Now what Naomi is saying is, and it's plain to be seen, the bitter things that have befallen me have come forth from the hand of God. She's talking about her afflictions. She is talking about the things that make her cry and weep. She is talking about the sad things that have befallen her. Those things that have grieved her. The hand of God against me, she says. And what those things are, we know. For we have seen them in the past weeks. The death of her husband. The death of her sons. Her loneliness. She was left. Her widowhood. And now her burdensome daughters-in-law, who are trailing along behind her as Moabites coming into the land of Israel. And the almost an utter impossibility of finding husbands for them there, who are Moabites. She is burdened. She is weeping. And this is a very weeping scene. It is full of emotion. They lifted up their voices together and wept. It is unhappiness. It is grief. It is affliction. She is utterly broken. And she puts it down to the hand of God. She acknowledges the sovereignty of God in it all. And make no mistake, she calls her affliction the hand of God. And she is right to do so, because she is just recognizing what the Bible teaches. And we all have to do that, brethren and sisters. Every affliction. You have to say, this for me at this time is the hand of God. It is. All afflictions come by the power and providence of God. One is on the throne, you see. One brings his will to pass, and Naomi calls that one the Almighty. There is no book that reveals more clearly this than the book of Job. In the book of Job, you know, we see a deeply, intensely, sorely afflicted man of God. And affliction is the key theme in the book of Job. The devil, of course, is instrumental in that, as we know. He is instrumental in the affliction. But permission must come from God. For one is on the throne. God allowed the affliction of Job. Therefore, that affliction is ultimately God's hand. Now, if we are Calvinists, believing in the sovereignty of God, we must confess that, and we do. We must speak as Naomi speaks. Naomi, we would say, is thoroughly Augustinian. She is thoroughly Calvinistic.
She believes in the sovereignty of the Almighty.
And so we must speak as she speaks. And so I bring you to the book of Job. Job chapter 5 for a start. Eliphaz is the one speaking. He is the oldest and the most experienced of Job's comforters. And in chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, he says a thing or two here about affliction. Although affliction, verse 6, cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. The Bible says that we shall have plenty of it. We're born unto it, in fact. We're just brought into the world, as it were, nearly to face it, as the sparks come pumping out of a fire all the time. So we're going to have to face the sparks of affliction many times. But I want you to notice where affliction does not come from, because Eliphaz, with all his wisdom, and he was very wise, though his application of many things to Job were wrong, yet what he said here is true. Affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground. That's what the ungodly want to believe. It just comes. It's just chance. It just comes out of the dust. It just kind of appears. But the Word of God says it doesn't come out of the ground. It doesn't come out of the earth. It doesn't arise out of the dust. The first cause of affliction is not the earth at all. Where then does affliction come from? Well, the whole book of Job tells us. And the whole book of Job is designed to tell us. Job was in the furnace, you see. The devil, we know, had a hand in it, that is true. But God is over all in the matter, as we see in chapters 1 and chapters 2. It's God's hand that is upon Job. Do you know that? Chapter 1, verse 10, the devil is speaking to God about Job. And the devil says, "Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath in every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." Now notice the words of verse 11. "But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath." And God, will you see then what he's made of? And all that devil does is God's hand. You put forth your hand and touch him. And God said to the devil, "Go and do it. You'll be my instrument to do it." But it was God's hand that originated that. Even the devil acknowledges that. Even the devil believes in the sovereignty of God, though he battles it every day. It's God's hand. "Put forth thine hand and touch him." And so he did. He lost all his sons. He lost his health. Although the devil was, as we've seen, the instrument used in this matter. Job acknowledges this himself at the end of chapter 1. "The Lord give and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He acknowledged it. The Lord did it. He's like Naomi. Thoroughly Augustinian in his worldview of the sovereignty of God over it all. Yes. And in chapter 16, Job is saying this all the time. Chapter 16, verses 11. "God hath delivered me to the ungodly, turned me over into the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces and set me up for his mark." Here Job is acknowledging the hand of God in all his affliction. He says, "God has handled me over. God has lifted me up by the cuff of the neck, and he's held me up, and he's made me a mark in the eyes of all the wicked, and they're just throwing their darts at me the way, any way they want. But God has hung me up, and God has hung me out." Job chapter 19, verse 21. "Have pity upon me, have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me." Do you see that? He doesn't say it was the devil. The devil was an instrument. Yes, that is true. God uses instruments in our afflictions. But it all originates from the throne of God. "God has touched me." And we have to acknowledge that, people of God. We can't bury our head in the sand. No. And Job is not alone in this confession. All the people of God ever confess this about their trials and afflictions. The choices of God's saints know the true source of everything that crosses their path, the sovereign hand of God. And so David is always doing it. Psalm 32, for example, verse 4, day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. Whatever his affliction was here, because he was chastened for his sins, and he was slow in confessing his sins, and he was slow in mending his ways, and he says the hand of God was upon me. Yes. Psalm 38, we're just looking at a selection. Psalm 38, verse 2, thine arrows stick fast in me, thine hand presseth me sore. The hand of the Lord is against me, it's pushing me down, and it's painful. And there's no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, Lord. He traces it to the hand of God. In Psalm 39, verses 9 and 10, I was dumb. Whatever his sore affliction was here, and it was severe, he says, I was dumb. I didn't open my mouth because I knew thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. Now, Saul was a hand in that, and many of the others of the enemy of God were a hand in that, but God allowed those enemies to come into David's life, and he recognizes God has allowed it, and he traces it all to its source, and he says, it's a hand of God. For some reason in my life, he has pressed me so. Do you do that with your afflictions, people of God? Do you trace them to their source? Do you think like Naomi? Do you think like Job? Do you think like David? Do they mend you of your wicked ways? Do they humble you? Do they bring you closer to Christ? They ought to. That's why they're sent. Now you will notice that Naomi takes the afflictive providences of God home to herself. The hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Me. She doesn't pass the buck. She doesn't say the Lord has gone out against others. She doesn't say the Lord has gone out against even her daughters-in-law. She feels a pain, you see. She has been given the stroke. She knows the hand that administered the stroke is God's hand. She knows it. She's not in denial about the matter. She appoints the stroke to herself because, you see, the tears are coming down her eyes. So she's feeling the pain. It's me that's feeling the rod. It's gone out against me. She doesn't pass the buck on somehow. She says, the Lord is chastening me. Now, it's true that the hand of the Lord has also gone out against Orpah and also gone out against Ruth because they are sorely afflicted as well. Yet she appropriates it all to herself and says, it's gone out against me. And that's what a true Christian should do. Bring it home to himself, not to others. That isn't the practice of the world or the ungodly, you know. Or of the unconverted, they won't be mended by the Lord. They are only made worse by the afflictions that God sends. They're not brought to confess, to repent, to reform, to change. They say this phrase, it's just chance. This tragedy is just a mere accident. And God hasn't anything to say to me about it. That's the way the world thinks. But it's not biblical. It's gone out against me. You see, the tears are going down here in my eyes. And I am feeling the pain of it in my life. So it's not against somebody else. It's against me. I feel the stroke. The magistrate will say it's the people's sin. And the people will say it's the government's sin. But whenever we feel the pain, we must think about our sins. Naomi says, me. I feel the stroke God has given it to me. I mean, it is foolish when your father or your mother maybe smack you and you say, it was meant for a neighbour. I mean, that would be silly to think that, wouldn't it? If you feel a smack, then you are the one who is to be instructed. If you feel the hurt, the Lord's hand is on it. And that's how we should think. And that's biblical thinking. Micah 6, verse 9, we read these words about the rod. Hear ye the rod. And who hath appointed it? Here's an interesting word, isn't it? Hear. Consider. Contemplate. Meditate upon this. Know this, ye. Hear ye, ye people of God, ye Jerusalem and Israel. Ye, hear ye the rod, ye citizens of Israel. The rod. The punishments that you are now suffering, the punishments that will come upon you, consider, hear ye the rod. And what are you to hear about the rod? What is your first consideration about the rod? Who hath appointed it? That's to be your first consideration, people of God. Who has appointed it? Not, mind you, notice, not what is the rod. The Syrians are the rod. The devil is the rod. The Babylonians are the rod. The pain is the rod. The thing that is touching us is the rod. But you are to consider who appointed it. That's what you're to consider. That's what you're to hear. God is dealing with you in the rod. He appoints the rod. He doesn't let the rod come to his people. He doesn't let anybody else smack his children. He appoints the rod himself for them. The matter to really consider is the one who has appointed it, who has commissioned it, who sends it, who handles it, who controls it, and that one is the Sovereign Most High God. And this is what Naomi now is hearing, considering, and discerning and contemplating, the stroke of God in her life. Do you see every time we wipe a tear? Every time we wipe a tear, brothers and sisters, don't ever think God has missed his mark. Don't ever think God has missed his mark. God never misses his target. God doesn't do that. As parents, it is true that sometimes we foolishly have been guilty of chastening the wrong child and causing a needless tear in one who did not need the rod. But God never does that. Naomi knows the principle of chastening. She does not confound the rule of the rod. She knows the principle of chastening. It is very simple. I feel the pain. The hand of the Lord is in it. I have something to be taught. And there is something I need. Brethren and sisters, when we are afflicted, it is not Christian to harden our necks and to stiffen our hearts and to say, I have done no wrong. That is not Christian. The rod is to teach us. Brethren and sisters, the rod is not hell. The rod is not hell. It is a father's hand. The rod is not parental abuse. The rod is corrective. And Naomi found it so. What then ought to be the effects of affliction in our lives? Well, in the ungodly, it will make them bitter. It will. It will make them angry. It will make them resentful. It will make them envious. It will make them more hateful to others. And the ungodly usually just lash out in all their afflictions. But that is not the effects of the rod in the regenerate, in the true people of God. No. Affliction will reveal what is in a man. Affliction will reveal even whether a man is saved or not. Affliction tells a story, not the affliction itself, but the response to it and the behavior in it. And so afflictions in the ungodly are like thorns that grow up and choke the word, but not in the people of God. If affliction makes you abuse your wife and makes you more uncaring, and makes you more impatient, and if affliction makes you bitter and angry and malicious, that's not a good sign. That is not a good sign at all. Affliction humbles the child of God. Affliction melts the heart of the child of God. Affliction makes the child of God run to God. Affliction brings the child of God closer to the Lord. More careful about God's house. More careful about the things of God. More respectful and reverent towards him. We read about that in Hebrews 12, didn't we? You reverence your father who punishes you according to the flesh. And so the true people of God who are chastened by the rod of their father, the effects of it ought to be a real reverence for God. But you see, there's no reverence for God. We're living in this crazy age where you think, you know, God has nothing to do with affliction. That's not the will of God. You have affliction in your life and you can still carry on your nonsense and the Lord wants you to be healed. We are in a crazy age. And there's a lot of deceptive teaching going around in prosperity, feel-good gospel churches. Let's get the biblical view. Let's be Naomi's. Let's interpret our trials right. The hand of the Lord is going out against me. And so afflictions will work patience in the people of God. Naomi is not bitter. She has buried two sons. She has buried her husband. She came out of food. She's going home empty. She's going back to poverty, you know. She doesn't even know if she's going to get an income. She hasn't a clue what's going to happen to her. But she's not bitter. She's not angry. She's not unkind. She's not prayerless. The Lord be kindly with you, my daughters. She still has a big heart. She is not heading out. She doesn't have the kind of attitude, I hurt, so everybody's going to have to feel it. She doesn't have that attitude. Consider our Lord Jesus Christ and all his afflictions. And of course, with him they were not chastisements. They were true punishments as our sin bearer, bearing sin on his own body. He bore actual punishment, so they were not the chastising hand of God in his life, but the punishing hand of God against sin. And they also were educating and transforming suffering so that he would become, in his humanity, a truly sympathetic high priest for us in all our suffering. So his sufferings were, in a sense, preparative, making him a sympathizing high priest, but they were very severe and very sore. And there was none suffered like our Lord. He went as a lamb to the slaughter. He was despised and rejected of men. He was hung up by the neck, as it were, and made the mark of all the ungodly and the song of the drunkard. He was made to feel humiliation. He was made to bear shame. Reproach and shame, he said, has broken my heart. This cup which thou hast given me to drink, shall I not drink it? I have a baptism to be baptized with, and every baptism is from above, from a sovereign hand of God, and it comes down in our life from his mighty hand. And Jesus says, I have a baptism to be baptized with. The Father's hand has sent it, and it's coming down, and I have to bear it, and it's going to come in contact with me. But Jesus, in all his sufferings and in all his afflictions, you know, he never lashed out. He never was impatient. He never was unkind. He never was angry. He never was jealous. He never was malicious. God's people stand out as regenerate in the fire. The ungodly are exposed as unregenerate in the fire. Naomi is a true child of God. And our Lord Jesus Christ is the true Son of God. And so, if we see our afflictions as God's hand, this will make us amend our wicked ways. And if we don't learn by them, God has to send them again. These afflictions will make us confess our sin and seek pardon. These afflictions will also comfort us when we know it is a Father's hand that chastens us for our eternal and spiritual well-being. These afflictions will drive us to the throne of God. These afflictions will drive us to the house of God. They will drive us to the ministry of the Word. They will drive us to the Word, saying, what comfort hath God for my soul today? These afflictions will keep us from going astray. They will keep us from backsliding. And if we have been backsliding, they will be restorative to us. But as Hebrews 12 says, we have to be exercised thereby. But again, brethren and sisters, let me remind you, God's hand in chastisement is not hell in punishment. He is our Heavenly Father. The hand of wrath that punishes sin has gone out against our Lord Jesus Christ, our substitute. He is our sin bearer. And so the afflictions that we feel are not punishment. They are corrective and chastening. It is a rod that we feel, brethren and sisters, not the sword. Oh, the sword is another story. The sword for us is dipped in blood. And it is sheathed. God never pulls the sword out to us. My Saviour's obedience and blood hides all my transgressions from you. He never uses a sword. Oh, that sword has gone into our beloved, into our Lord Jesus Christ, who has died for our sins. And the hand that Naomi feels is a father's. When she talks about him with utter kindness, the Lord hath dealt bitterly with me. O flock of God, you are a much afflicted flock. I know that. I don't think there's a house in this congregation. And I've thought about it often. I don't think there's a house in this congregation that is tearless. And maybe for many years that's been the case. you are much afflicted. Hear the rod. Consider who hath appointed it. Mend your ways. Turn from your follies. Seek pardon in Jesus Christ. Keep his commandments. Keep all his commandments. And humbly walk in the paths of righteousness. What doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to do justly. To love mercy. Mercy. Justice and some mercy. And some humiliation. Walk humbly with your God. Let us pray.